1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Well, I can't believe they're still just screaming about what happened last summer with these reports. The FBI knew something, but they didn't know anything. They had guys in Arizona flying around, and they didn't know the Arabs were down in Arizona flying around. There were Arabs in Arizona flying around? I knew that there were Arabs in Florida flying around. They were also in Arizona? Boy, good thing they shut those airports. There would have been a huge situation going on, man, if they hadn't shut those airports down. I guess it was pretty bad, huh? They're screaming and yelling about it today. This is day two about what did Bush know and why didn't he know it? Or what didn't Bush know and why did he know it? Day two, trying to point the finger of blame on this. And I say, let's just let the whole thing just forget it. People make mistakes. Whatever. Let's move on. This guy Bush, not a bad guy. Does what he can, loves his country, loves his daughters, loves his wife, likes the job. What do you want from the guy? Everybody is screwing up so much in their life that they just love to see the other guy do it, and they just love to pile on when he does it. And I'm not even sure the guy screwed up. All he did was, he was president. They dump a bunch of crap on his desk every morning, and they say, go through it, and then he's got to go off, and he's got to meet the president of Zambia, and he's got to meet the Girl Scouts of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Then he's got to go back and take a dump and have lunch, and then he's go, you know, look through some more stuff, have a beer. Well, in his case, you know, he doesn't have a beer, or he sneaks it. And then he's got to go off and meet with the cabinet, and he's got to meet with the cabinet man, and he's got to go into the kitchen and get himself another, you know, a Pepsi. Go make love to his wife, come back downstairs, check out some more crap that's on the desk. Anyways, he's supposed to go through every single solitary thing, debriefings and security reports. Everybody's making a big deal about, like, maybe this thing could have been, hey, let's keep in mind how these guys pulled this job off. It wasn't exactly the most high-tech gig going. These guys walked on board a plane. They had a couple of plastic-handled, you know, like, toothbrushes with razor blades, and they did what they did. Could we have stopped it? You know, we spend more time thinking about what we could have done, should have done, would have done, might have done, had a done, if I'd had it to do over again, I would have done this and I could have done that. And we never really look forward, do we, to what we can do, what we might do. Of course, if we start doing that, everybody's crazy. We start talking about, well, maybe there's a threat July the 4th, and maybe we saw some Arabs taking pictures over at the Three Mile Island nuclear plant. By the way, did you hear that? There were Arabs picnicking over near Three Mile Island. I don't give a crap what you say, that's suspicious. I don't care if you call it racial profiling, that's wrong. It's wrong! How dare you, Mr. Hendry, that's racist. Go ahead, call me a racist. Arabs picnicking right near the Three Mile Island big smokestack thing, something's up with that. And if a cop doesn't ask him any questions, I will. I'll get out of my car and I'll walk over. Okay, look, yes, can we help you? Can you help me? Yes, you could help me. Why are you here? What are you, how dare you? You're profiling me? No, I'm not profiling. There's Three Mile Island where we had a major meltdown back in the 70s. Here is you. You're from Syria, and you're having a picnic. Why, what's this? Look, you're not fooling anybody, okay? Did you hear about that? Now, the most recent one is they found three Arab guys taking pictures of some water supply place in Connecticut. Look, everybody's got to keep their eyes open on this one, okay? Can we all be agreed on this? Can we all get together on this, baby? Can everybody keep their eyes open? Somebody's going to plan something. These guys are sneaking in. They're leaking in. They're oiling their way in. They're the oiliest bunch of bastards I ever saw in my life. And if that's racial profiling, well, God forgive me. I'm the only guy that talked to Casey Kasem at the Christmas party. Don't call me a racial profiler. Jesus. You know, enough's enough. Everybody still thinks that we have the luxury of discussing such finely tuned and very elevated themes as, should we profile based on race? Is it right to... I'm not saying stopping black guys in Beverly Hills. That's way over the line. I mean, I think we've pretty much gotten that one solved, haven't we? Or is the Beverly Hills police still apprehensive? What's that, Chris? You got pulled over in Beverly Hills? Well, that's good. I'd say any guy that looks like Rasputin driving through Beverly Hills at 10 o'clock at night needs to get pulled over. But look, this is a whole... We're at war, baby. War.
Oh, yeah, I've heard you say that before, Phil. Well, what do I mean by that? Yeah, would you mind defining it? Because you're always running your big fat mouth with your hyperbole. What exactly do you mean we're at war?
Well, here's what I mean. There's a bunch of people out there. They're organized. They have a name. It's called Al-Qaeda or Arabs, whichever you'd like to call them. And they want to kill you. They want to kill you.
Well, I think if we sat down and talked with them... No, it doesn't matter if you want to sit down and talk with them. They still want to kill you. Well, what if we gave them everything that they wanted?
They still want to kill you.
What if we decided to let Palestine have a homeland?
They still want to kill you.
What if we decided that we were not going to buy their oil anymore and we wouldn't bother them and we'd pull out?
They still want to kill you.
Well, God, isn't there any way that we can appease them?
No. There. Have I finally made it clear? They're going to try something else? They're trying to... Look, they came in cargo containers down at San Pedro. So it's pretty wild, man. And you got to keep your eyes open. You got to keep your ears open. We got to be... It's like it's World War II. And if that means that we're all a bunch of little... You know, we got our noses up somebody else's business. Tough. Now, that's the kind of surveillance I dig. Not whether or not I'm making love to my wife in the backyard with the lights on and it's some guy sticking his nose over the wall. It's none of your freaking business. But if I'm putting a bomb together, I think that maybe you ought to... In fact, I'll invite you over to arrest me. But I don't care what anybody says. When I heard that... Yes, and police the other day saw Arabs picnicking near 3 miles. Have you ever known of anybody to picnic near a nuclear power plant? Have you ever heard of such... Other than San Onofre, which is down the beach here in California, and Craig is now raising his hand. See, okay, so now, you know, I just struck a very familiar... Have you ever picnicked near San Onofre on the beach? Yes, I surf. Okay, all right, I take it back. It's within, you know, visual distance. You can see San Onofre. But there's something to do there. You go and you surf. What are you doing at Three Mile Island? And don't tell me you're bird watching. And don't say that, it's very lovely. Something wrong with that. That's what I mean about everybody pitching in and doing their part. So if you see some suspicious people, and they happen to be just spreading out a nice tablecloth with some olives and sandwiches and, you know, pickles, and they've got milkshakes, and they have Cokes, and it's right next to a SAC missile silo. I would think, what are you doing?
I just love to sit here. I love to... Yeah, bull crap, man. That's a missile silo there. What are you? Oh, so you think you're racist, huh? You think I'm trying to do...
Well, I don't know, man. It's just, it's weird, you know? You're in the middle of Wyoming here. This isn't even a park. What are you doing?
I don't know. I relax here. You relax
near the missile silo, huh?
Oh, so you think I'm going to blow up America? You're a racist, you know? You think every Arab is some kind of scumbag? Well, no, just you.
I'm not profiling anybody, man. I'm profiling you, dude. If you see an Arab and he's having himself a nice, leisurely picnic near the NORAD Air Defense Command headquarters, I would think that he's, what are you doing?
I'm doing watercolors, you know, I like...
Oh, watercolors! Well, okay, yeah, you got that little... You're painting, huh? I just love the way the rockets look as they go up there at Vandenberg Air Force Base. By the way, I got thrown out of Vandenberg one... I didn't get thrown out of Vandenberg one night. I went into Vandenberg, and then I threw myself out. And let me explain. Vandenberg Air Force Base is an Air Force base up the coast in California near Lompoc. You may have heard of Lompoc. That's where the minimum security prison is located, where many luminaries of the Nixon era were, you know, put up for the night. Anyway, I was at Yalama State Beach, and, oh, let me just put it this way. I was having a good time, and I was thrown out of the park. The ranger came by and said, okay, that's it. Get out. It had something to do with the fact that we had a raging bonfire going and we threw water on it, which creates, if you throw water on a raging bonfire, that creates a funnel cloud, unlike anything anybody in Kansas has ever seen. It just goes up for miles. So the ranger came by and threw us out. Now I got to find a place to crash for the night, and I see a big sign. It says Vandenberg Air Force Base. Stay out. Biological weapons testing. What does Henry do? Drive right on in. I'm like sucking a Coors. You know the thing on The Simpsons when Homer just tosses the radioactive thing and he just cuts out for the night? That's Henry. You know, I'm 19. I'm an idiot. I'm just... And all night long, I remember Vandenberg was... They do these weather balloons and weather rockets. If you live along the coast there, you see the sky will light up purple some nights because Vandenberg is shooting off rockets. Of course, now with my post-9/11 paranoia, or maybe it's post-Vietnam paranoia, I'm not sure which paranoia I'm living in. Now I'm thinking when I call Vandenberg, as many residents do, and say, excuse me, did you guys launch a rocket tonight because the sky is purple? And they say, oh, don't worry, it's just a weather balloon. Now I'm wondering... You know, I can't get an erection anymore. My hair is falling out. My teeth hurt. But it was a weather balloon, is what you're telling me. The sky's purple, man. It's purple.
Don't worry about it, Mr. Andrews. It's a weather balloon.
What?
It's a weather balloon.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Hello?
Yeah, is this Vandenberg?
Yeah. Is this the same guy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you back. The sky's purple, man.
No, it's just a weather balloon.
You sure?
Yeah, quit bugging me, okay? Friends is on. Rachel's about to squirt the kid.
All right, I'm sorry.
Now what do you want?
I'm sorry, officer. I didn't mean...
Yeah, this is the third time with the whole thing.
Look, I gotta tell you something. My prostate hurts. And,
I don't know what you're saying.
Well, what is it? It's like a,
It's a weather balloon.
Is this a recording?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I got a fin growing out of my...
It's a weather balloon.
All right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay, Blake, you got another political satire song?
That's right, Phil. I'm Blake Barley, and of course I specialize in political satire, and that is that I make songs up out of the day's headlines. Satirical songs, songs that have a cutting edge, songs that are also funny, and songs that are very insightful and educational. I'm kind of like Garrison Keillor. Garrison Keillor? I can't read that cue card. Hold it steady.
Garrison Keillor.
That's right. That's me.
Hold the cue card steady.
Sorry, Mr. Barley. I did not do it.
Well, go ahead, bud.
Oh, I'm sorry. And now, everybody, here's Blake Barley with a song of political satire about the current news events.
Thank you, everybody. I'm Blake Barley, and let's get to it. Here's a song about a current contemporary event, a current cultural event in America.
What's this called?
Well, here it is, Phil. It's called Star Wars Sucks. Here it is. Oh! Star Wars sucks! Star Wars sucks! Star Wars sucks! Star Wars blows! Star Wars... Ow!
Get out of here with that!
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There you go. See, it doesn't take much to drop a little bit of gold. It doesn't take much. You can just squeeze one out in between monologues. There's just a little nugget of comedy gold pushed through the cheeks of the Phil Hendry Show. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Get a load of this. 2 years before the September 11th attacks, a federal report warned the executive branch that Osama bin Laden's terrorists might attack or hijack an airliner and dive bomb it into the Pentagon. What? You know, are we sure that we were reporting intelligence, or were we giving them ideas? This is what I'd like to know. Suicide bomber belonging to Al-Qaeda's martyrdom battalion could crash land an aircraft packed with high explosives, C-4 and Semtex, into the Pentagon, the headquarters of the Central Intelligence Agency, or the White House. The report entitled who cares? It was a report that somebody didn't read the right way. That's what I know. So anyway, there you are, and you work for the Hazardous Materials Division of a state, and the guy comes up, hi, I'm an Arab, and I'd like a hazmat license. Why? Why, you racist. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ask you that.
Yes, I'm an Arab. I like to drive hazardous materials. Why is that? Are you racist? Oh, you're right. I shouldn't ask. Okay, here's all the hazardous materials. You just like to do it? Yeah, I do it for... I like to relax. Okay, here's your hazardous materials. Okay, see you later. Don't you want to know the address? No, I don't need to. Wait, you need the address. Are you a racist? No, I'm not. I'm sorry. You must be a racist to ask me the question. What do I want to do with a machine gun? This racial profiling... It's nowhere. You can't do that. Hi, I'm an Arab. I have a machine gun, and I'm walking into an airport with it. Why? Why, you racist. All right, here's Brett on the Phil Henry Show. Brett?
Yes, sir.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fine, sir.
20 minutes after the first tower is hit, I seen on CNN where it said the FBI claims no responsibility.
Bull crap.
That's what I saw it on CNN.
Those racists.
Those bastards.
20 minutes after the what?
After the first tower was hit, CNN put up the FBI. You know how it scrolls underneath?
After the first owl's who?
After the first tower got hit.
Okay.
It said, scrolling underneath that said the FBI claims no responsibility. And I was wondering, why would they say that if they did know it?
FBI claims no response. In other words, the FBI didn't blow the tower up.
Yeah, were they trying to hide the fact that they were? They did have knowledge of it. That's what I was.
They could be hiding the fact that they didn't have knowledge of it, but they didn't want people to know they didn't have knowledge of it. See?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. That they didn't have knowledge, but they didn't want anybody to know they didn't have knowledge, so they were hiding that.
Also, I had another question.
Yes,
sir. You did a bit. It was called You Bet Your Life. And I was trying to figure out, remember who the game show host was? What was his name?
Art Kren.
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard anything like that since that one time.
No, I really don't know. You Bet Your Life.
Yeah.
I'm kidding you about Art Kren. There's no such guy as Art Kren. I think it was Groucho Marx or some Nazi
that. No, it was your bit. You were doing a bit with welfare mothers driving toward a cliff and jumping out right before.
Oh, yeah, we did that when we were in New York.
That was
Herb Sewell. Yeah, You Bet Your Life.
I haven't heard anything like that again.
Oh,
ever.
You dig that?
That was funny.
Yeah, I like that bit. Basically, it was welfare mothers who would do a chicken run toward a cliff, and the first one to jump lost the $1 million for her family.
You ought to try to get some Afghanis out there in a minefield playing You Bet Your Life.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend,
Phil. Okay, you too, brother. All right, bye-bye. He's okay. He's just, 1-800-449-8. Why would we want to blow Afghanis up, man? They're our friends. Brett, you're all right, but they're good guys. Just a couple of them Al-Qaeda guys suck, but they ain't even Afghanis. They're Arabs, the ones that are flying all around Arizona looking for a place to crash land. The Afghanis are cool. The Arabs, not so cool. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Say, listen, if you're an Arab and you'd like a hazardous materials license, send in a self-addressed stamped envelope to The Phil Henry Show, Premier Radio, Sherman Oaks, and we'll be happy to send one to you. It'll be a fake, it'll be a dummy, and any cop will be able to spot it in 3 seconds, but that's the general idea. Listen, why wait for that hazardous materials license when you can get one from The Phil Henry Show? And we'll be happy to report your name to the appropriate federal authorities. Just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Phil Henry is going to stick it right straight up the old yazoo in care of this station. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with more of your scintillating calls, more commentary on just what President Bush is going to do since he choked on that pretzel and woke up to a whole new world. Post 9/11. Later on in our show, Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What are they doing about these latest reports? All coming up on The Phil Henry Show, dropping nuggets of comedy gold. 1-800-449-8686.
Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's right. Hey, what do you call an Arab with a hazmat license?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's right. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, that's real comedy. That's a hoot and a half. An Arab with a picnic basket on 3 Mile Island.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Oh, ha, ha, ha. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
Good. I just have to tell you, this last call you had is an example of the disinformation that is a bunch of bull I can't say on the air, because that's not what CNN said. They said that FBI says no one claims responsibility.
There you
referring
go.
To nobody's called them and said, hey, we did it.
Right.
And I don't know why this is an example of disinformation of the stupid asses out there who think that they can see something, half read it, and call it fact.
Well, but that gives you an idea of just exactly what talk radio is worth, a whole lot of nothing, you know? Seriously, I mean, this is the last place you want to get information off of any talk show anywhere in the world. And I mean, this has been my rallying cry since I've been on the air. You know, this is an entertainment vehicle, and I'm not just talking about my show. I mean, anybody's show that takes phone calls from some knucklehead. And that last guy was an okay guy. He was just kind of a screwball. But
I'm
you can't,
sure he's a nice guy, but yeah.
Yeah, he's a, you know, but, you know, I listen to some guy. What guy got to call me up and tell me, hey, Phil, yeah? Hey, the moon's made of green cheese. Swear to God, it was on CNN. Well, what, you know, I got to double-check the information.
Yeah, true.
I got to double-check the information. I'm not going to come running into the house, you know, and your wife is, put on CNN, put on CNN. What? I just heard on the Ed Farley show that Bush has a broom handle up his ass. Let's go, come on.
Yeah, and, well, you know that Art Bell would believe it.
But everybody knows that Art, he luxuriates in bullcrap. That's what Art, that's his world.
Yes, this is true.
He's great. In it. You know, he's cool because, you know, we do put on our show too. I mean, it's what if you know the show, you know it's shtick. Frankly, some of that stuff I'm starting to believe. I drive home, and I'm hearing it, and I'm thinking, you know, there's a man living in my toaster. Okay, Lisa.
Thanks for the giggle.
Thanks. Bye. See this show? Well, forget it. I've been spending so much time and so much energy explaining how we do it on our show. We try to point up the bullcrap, you know, and we just, sooner or later people are going to get it. I'll be long dead and buried, but they'll get it. By the time this program's impact is truly felt along the broadcast landscape, I will be dead 20 years. Hey, Barrett, put that in your column. I want to see that in Don Barrett's. That's a fantastic quote. I see all these boring quotes that you put in your column with everybody else. Put that one in. By the time my show's real impact is felt along the broadcast landscape, I will be dead and buried 20 years. So said Phil Hendry last night on his show. It's to the point. It's intelligent. It's a marvelous commentary of the state of the broadcast business. It ain't another one from Jamie and Danny. You know, it's got everything that we need. Everything that anybody would want out of your column, anything other than a quote from Jamie and Danny. Here is Hallie on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Hallie.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing?
Good.
I wanted to talk to you about what to bring back from Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's not my favorite place either.
You hang out in Hawaii much, do you?
No. You mentioned Fiji. Have you been to Fiji?
Love Fiji.
Yes.
Went down there last 2 months ago.
Oh, awesome. Where'd you stay?
We stayed at the Cousteau Resort on Vanua,
Levy.
Whatever the hell. Yeah. There you go. Levy.
Uh-huh.
Vanua Levy. Is it, what's the big resort? Yeah, that one.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And it was beautiful, and it was, the people were marvelous, and there was a cultural thing going on there. You know, they hung out, and we swapped kava stories. Did you do the kava down there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I smuggled 10 kilos of kava out of there.
Yeah, we did, too. We didn't smuggle that much, but.
Do you drink it here?
No.
So you brought the kava with you, but you don't know how to make it,
do
you?
You just add water to it, and you stir it around. It looks like dishwater.
Yeah, it tastes like mud.
And then your lips get all tingling.
But you're all chilled out. It's the greatest tranquilizer in the world.
You just pretend you're stoned, and it's really fun.
You pretend you're stoned. All right, so what do I bring back from Hawaii?
Sand.
Oh, God,
it's all...
Do you want us to bring back some sand?
Yes.
It's like you're talking to a retard. Anybody that goes to, excuse my using the term retard, anybody that goes to Hawaii, it's like you're talking to someone who's a little slow. We're going, and we're staying at the, and where are you going? Let me guess, Maui. Right.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing that anybody could bring back from Hawaii. Hawaii's a great place, but they ain't got nothing that I want.
Right.
All right, Holly.
That's okay.
Thanks.
See ya.
Okay, bye. Get out of here. All right. Hawaii bugs me. You know why? Because they pretend like you're in the tropics, but you're still in America. That's what I don't like about Hawaii. If you're going to go on a vacation, I've always said, you've heard me say this many times, if you're going on a vacation, get out of the country. Just get out of the country. A, you'll find an appreciation for your country, America. B, you may enjoy yourself better than you do on vacation while you're here. Maybe you'll find a way to relax that you can't find here in a good old USA. But you can't relax in Hawaii because you've got you're in America. You got the same uptight people telling you to put the cigarette out. You got the same bartender going, a legal pour, 1 ounce of tequila, sir. I'm sorry, that's legal pour. All right, light touch. Here's another $5. Give me another shot. Can't even get a decent margarita over here with you guys with that light touch pour you got. Here's five. I'll take another shot of the Don Julio, okay? We only pour Cuervo Gold. Oh, how did I know that? You go down to wherever the hell else, whether it's Mexico or wherever you like to go, the bartender, everybody is ready to make friends. Everybody's ready to. One hand washes the other. Here's a couple of dollars. Just, you know, what can we do? How much fun can we have? But in Hawaii, you know, and it's amazing, you'll go out of the country and suddenly you notice the little things. Not that I'm a big cigarette smoker, but you just notice suddenly nobody's got a problem with anybody lighting up anywhere they want to light up. That's the first thing you notice when you leave America. It's the very first thing you notice. Cigarettes blazing everywhere. And then the next thing you notice is the smell. Now, moving along, I'm kidding. It smells fine most places I go. It's 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here is Ralph. Hello.
Hello.
Ralph, hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
You know, your caller about your callers a couple of calls ago, it mirrors my question. I'm a federal agent here in Miami, and I was out on an interview with an agent a few days ago, and I know that he had never heard of you, so I purposely put you on, and you had one of your bits going. And you had him going so bad, and he was getting so angry.
What were
and,
we talking about? What was the bit?
You know, I forgot the bit. It was, I can't recall the bit right now. It was last Thursday. You've had so many since then. But
last Thursday, Janice, getting, look it up. Anything that would piss off an FBI agent, find out what it is.
But the point is, he was so angry, and all I could think of is, what a moron. How does he not see the stick here? When I realized about 6 years ago, I remember I was a junior in college. I put you on. You were in Miami. First time I had listened to you, and you were talking to Margaret. I think it was her introduction. It was she was complaining about some rare disease that she had, and she wasn't able to walk from her car to the Joe Robbie Stadium.
Bobby loves Luke Helder is the bit. Luke Helder the bomber. And she thought he was really hot. That was last Thursday's bit. She thought the bomber. You're a federal agent, and you're calling up to talk about my show?
You know what? That's how bored we are. We're sitting on surveillance right now.
What are you guys doing? Tell me about what's happening. I mean, do you feel bad about all the stuff that's coming out in the news?
Well, certainly. Absolutely.
Thank you.
My point on a lighter side, my point was that I remember falling for the Margaret stick.
All right. Officer, thank you very much. You're doing a great job for our country, and goodbye. I can't talk to him. He's on a surveillance. He's got Matt Drudge's apartment staked out, so he wants to see, you know, he just saw a big bare ass go by the window a minute ago with a hat on it, so he thinks maybe Drudge has finally got a girlfriend. I don't know. No, you're very fine, officer. Thank you for calling, but why do I want to talk to an FBI agent unless you got some good cheese on what's going on with the Arabs? He's a nice guy. Cops like this show. Cops love the Phil Henry Show. You want to know why? Because it's sadistic, that's why. It's seriously, cops, every town I ever worked in, the coppers are the first guys that get it. Now, you can say what you want about the police, but I got news for you. The first guys that get what this show is about are cops. Any town I've ever been in. Maybe it's because they're the first guys that are called by the little old lady going, and he has a man on right now. He's giving out hazmat licenses to. What in sweet Jesus is it? Hold on, old lady. We'll call up. Phil Henry Show. What are you guys trying to pull? Oh, it's just a joke. Okay, it's just a joke.
What? I don't. Who?
Oh, bug off. Freaking me out. And then they get to be friends of mine, or I get to know the guy. And, they, you know, the time I was in Minneapolis,
And I was on the air, and I was doing a bit where I was metamorphosizing into a werewolf. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was on late night in Minneapolis because they couldn't stand the thought of me being on any earlier than 11 o'clock at night. And which, by the way, we'll be at the Conclave. I'll be the keynote speaker in Minneapolis July 27th. So it's come a long way there in Minneapolis. Anyway, the copper, about 2:30 in the morning, the cop's down at the door, and I go down there. It's one of the guys from the precinct house right around the corner from the station. It's a guy I know. He's, Phil, hey, how you doing? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. What's up? I had an old lady thought you a werewolf attacked you or something. I just want to, okay, fine. You guys didn't really, no, of course we know you're not getting attacked. But I got an old lady, I got a call, I got to come down and check it out. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you up. No, no, it's fine. I need the exercise. You want to come in for some coffee? Yeah, okay, don't mind if I do. All right. That was it. Then the guys down in Miami, the Bay Harbor guys, what was the place, the Bay Village, whatever that little town was next to WIOD, those guys used to come over and listen all the time. I don't know what it is, but cops get it. Everybody else, it takes about 6 months to a year. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show here. Don't forget Jay Santos later on in our program. The Citizens Auxiliary Police talking about what they can do to try to neutralize these terror threats. It's the Phil Henry Show. Never mind. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, you're on to Phil Henry. Who's this? Jeff?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I didn't want to talk about the 9/11. I want to talk. Did you see Friends last night at all, Mr. Henry, or if you watched that show?
No, I don't watch Friends. I do. I'm not really that familiar with it.
I don't know what was going on the program, but, I mean, somebody should. I'm surprised you didn't get any phone calls about what's going on the show.
I haven't gotten any calls about what went on the program.
Okay, let me fill you in a little bit. Friends come on last night. It was supposed to be the episode where Rachel's baby is born. And
well, okay, so that's one of the characters, right?
Yes, sir. That's the Jennifer Aniston character.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't understand, but the baby's born dead. The thing about Friends, if you don't know about it...
The baby is born dead.
Yes, sir. If you know Friends, it's a comedy.
Yeah, I know it's a comedy. This baby was born dead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, I'm watching this. First of all, I got a band that we play. We do 2 gigs a night down at this place called Mr. Pooh's Dark Horse is the name of our band. And we were practicing for like a later set we're going to do. And I told everybody that we had to stop because I wanted to see what was on.
Okay.
So I turn on Friends. The baby that's supposed to be born was born dead. Ross committed suicide. I mean, this is the stuff that was on the...
This is on Friends last night.
Yes. Ross committed suicide. Monica is another character. She left Chandler for Phoebe. I mean, this is some kind of lesbian thing. And that Joey guy self-mutilates. He cuts his own penis off. I mean, I couldn't even...
They show this?
No, they don't show it, man, but that guy comes into the room screaming with blood coming down, and he said he cut his own penis off.
On Friends?
Yes. Yes, man. That's what I was saying. Did anybody call up about it?
No. Did anybody call you, Chris? What are you talking about, man? I know the show...
Mr. Henry, look, I never miss Friends. I think it's a great show. And last night they had a big episode, was the last episode where Rachel's baby is born.
And the baby was born dead.
Yeah. And Joey, who's the stupid one, I guess, he's like a he's like an actor who's not smart.
Right.
He cut his own penis off. And I was thinking it was some kind of a joke or something.
I don't know.
And the other character is this character named Janice, like stabs her face with a hypodermic the reason why I'm calling you is you're out in the entertainment business. I don't know if you know anything about this or why they would do this.
Did you watch this show? All I know is...
Look, here's the thing. I know that Friends has been up against Survivor, and maybe they're trying to do some different things. I mean, 30 minutes, they found a body in a shopping cart, and some chick whose face was shredded with a Botox needle.
Wait a minute, man. This is Friends, the con...
Yes, sir, I know the show I'm talking about. Seriously, I do.
The comedy show?
Yes, sir.
Did you laugh?
The face shredded? No. I mean, they found a body in a shopping cart.
Who found a body in a shopping cart? Let me ask you a question. You're watching the TV show Friends, and what, did it just start?
The show just starts, yeah, Friends. The one that goes, I'll be there for you.
Yeah, that show.
Okay, then it opens with a body in a shopping cart and a baby's dead.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't watch the show.
Well, that's what I thought. Maybe you had some idea.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I can't believe that the show like that... My kids watch that show, and you're telling me that Joey...
Yeah, he's usually funny. Then he comes on and he cuts his own penis off with a skill saw.
Well, I don't understand, man. I mean, I can tell you that I wouldn't watch the show anymore if I were you, if that's what...
Everybody's waiting for Rachel's baby to be born, and then the thing's stillborn.
What's funny about that?
That's what I'm trying to find out, man. That's what I'm trying to find out.
You know what, dude? There must be some...
Ross takes a belt sander to his nipples and a...
Come on!
I swear to God!
A belt sander?
Yes. Dude's standing there in front of the mirror just with a belt sander just doing his nipples with him. It's the sickest, most twisted thing I've ever seen. I'll never watch that show again. And we stopped down like two sets of rehearsal just to watch this.
Dude, I'm sorry that I got no information for you.
Well, I thought maybe you would. That's why I called up.
I'm sorry, I got no information for you. I've never heard of such a thing. I don't know what to tell you. I can ask my kids. I hope to God they weren't watching this show. Joey cuts his own penis off and Rachel's baby's born dead.
Yeah, and Ross took a belt sander to his nipples.
When's he commit suicide?
After that.
All right. Thank you.
If you hear about anything, you'll announce on it?
Yeah, we'll...
All right, I love your show, man.
Okay, thank you. So on Friends last night, Ross took a belt sander to his nipples and Rachel's baby was born dead. According to that caller. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, yeah, and Joey self-mutilated. It's the Phil Henry Show.